The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, Season 13, Episode 403. It's been running longer than Rob DiCostello, this podcast, and Rob could certainly run. The Cats coming off a solid win against the very unhappy Gold Coast Suns down there at GMHBA Stadium. It was good to get back on the wins list. And Kingy, we've got a very special guest. They've had to roll up the lino they usually wheel out for me. Remember the 70s lino used to be on all the time? Like, we had some at home in Belmont there. It was fantastic. And they've got out the red carpet for our very special guest. We don't use special guest in the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast in the same sentence very often. In fact, this is only the third time, yes. I think. Fourth time in the history of the podcast. But Ian Cover joins us. Cove, welcome to the to the Cat Attack podcast.
Oh, thank you, Benny. Lovely to be here and with you and Tommy. And here I was on Friday night when the proposition was put to me about joining you for the Cat Attack podcast brought to you by Kerr's Hire.
Yeah.
This Tuesday, I thought, oh, well, there must have been a guest dropped out this week, you know, and that to fill the spot at short notice. And then I discover I'm number three.
No, the spreadsheet's reasonably clear for the remainder of the season. So,
is there a spreadsheet?
Yes, there will be, Kingy. Well, surely you do one. Yeah. I don't know how to operate a spreadsheet.
And little did I know, I'm showing my ignorance now about this highly downloaded podcast. Mm. Are they downloaded or uploaded? That's the other thing I never understand.
Well, no, I upload it.
Yeah, you download it.
For people to download.
Right. Yeah. So little did I know that Benny was actually in the chair. So this is
huge. It's extraordinary.
It was Benny's idea.
And I'll be rivaling sort of Rob Bruff with my hosting. What did he?
Family Feud.
That's right, Family Feud. There was some back in the 80s and 90s, Greg Evans.
I just want to revert to your spreadsheet. Yeah. The only time you've ever used the word Excel is when you've been talking about Gavin.
Yes, he was. Well, he could play the 17, couldn't he? Cats were good on Friday night, boys. It was good to get back on the winners list. What do we make of the? Was pretty comprehensive in the end. The opposition coach, wasn't entirely happy with the umpiring. But when you lose by 8 goals, I think it's got to be a little bit more the umpiring that gets you beat.
Yes, if we just want to focus on the umpiring for a moment,
they were horrendous.
Look, I think they've done better, and.
Yep.
It was interesting. I did note the Richmond coaches' comments about how...
Former Richmond coaches.
Sorry, he's Gold Coast now.
Yeah. Premiership coach, you got to use
it. Yes. Yeah. I was interested in his comments because he wove into there as if the umpires had been influenced by the local crowd.
Yes.
Russian Coliseum, he called it.
he had... If you weren't listening on Friday night, folks... Benny had trouble with his oceans.
Yeah, I was getting my oceans mixed up.
He had the Atlantic instead of the Pacific.
Well, it depends which way you go. If you're going via Europe, wouldn't you go over the...
Wasn't the only thing you had trouble with? Because there's your gastro... Whatever you want to call it.
My gastroenterologist. I've seen him during the week. And he hasn't given me... He didn't give me a clear passage, Dom.
No.
We're trying to create one.
No, I did. Look, that was late in the night. That was after the Cats had got the 4 points. That they were safe and secure, the 4 points.
Yeah, something wasn't safe and secure in you.
Can we get back to the game? He's got a fixation with this, Tom.
He's gone off track, hasn't he?
Yeah.
It's usually me.
I was just...
Before you go on, Coach. Sorry, before you go on. Dom usually has a piece of paper over there where he notes down things he has to cut out that I say, which is quite regularly.
Which you're not.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Gold Coast coach, Damien Hardwick, to give him a name, he obviously caught your disease because you went with Atlantic early, then he went with Russian for the Coliseum.
Yeah, we're not exactly the sharpest knives in the drawer, I don't think, Damien and I.
And I thought that brought his whole attack undone because he floundered early over...
There's just quickly before...
But to say that the umpires were influenced by the Geelong crowd, the Geelong crowd can at most of the time be quite... docile.
Yeah, yes, they can.
Sedate.
Yeah. Have we ever influenced an umpire?
No, I wouldn't have thought.
Umpires being influenced by crowds has been happening since Jesus kicked seven to excite that crowd there against when they were playing Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai...
Yeah, they were no good.
There weren't many teams because Mount Sinai... No,
it,
chance to run quite a bit.
They didn't have many to play.
Well, it was like exactly like when what's-his-name used to write to the Corinthians, Paul. He was always writing to the Corinthians.
Well,
and they wrote back, stop sending his letters.
I think the Mount Sinai was, and that comp there was a bit like the one on King Island.
Yes. They've got three-team comp.
Grassy, Curry and North are the three teams.
Love Island. Is that similar? Is there much going on Love Island?
I think the two top sides play off, and then the third side, the coach gets the flick. You finish last. Anyway, it was a good performance.
It was solid, wasn't it?
And when they could have won by more. There was a lot. There was a bit of wasteful goal kicking.
Well, they kicked. Well, they conceded three of the first four goals,
and then was 7-3 or something. 8-3 at half time.
They were pretty comprehensive after that. We liked a few things. Well, I liked. It was nice to see the 38 come out through the banner and then warm up with the blokes who play in the men's department rather than in the other department where he's been lost for a couple of weeks. So Jack Henry back into defence. I think most Cat fans were ticking that.
Well, he had to go back given Tom Stewart wasn't playing.
But
I think he should still play there when Tom Stewart is playing.
So does that mean then, does Jake Colajasny have to come out if Tom Stewart comes back this week from concussion?
And that's a big if.
Well,
because there's still some debate about where there's no certainty about when he was actually. Nobody can seem to tell us when he was actually diagnosed.
It'll be straight after the game, wasn't it?
Well, that's what I understood, but I tried to get the club to ratify that, and they were sort of state.
But they're probably just playing ducks and drakes, and he'll be playing.
Yes.
Well, I did hear just before I joined you here that he was still, quote, was working through concussion protocols.
Not on another network.
Oh, no.
No. That was the coach this morning, the coach at his media conference this morning.
He's done a master's in lying, hasn't he?
Oh.
No.
I don't get involved in that. It's one of his favourite lines.
When I always sort of sniff it out, when the coach is not offering up much, that generally tells me that he's playing. If he wasn't playing, he's more likely to come out and say he's not playing. Whereas when there's a bit of doubt, they like to play those.
Concussion, though, is a different one, Benny, because, we had, Grime Myers last year, thought he was right to go, and he had a little setback, and it pushed him back a week.
Well, let's hope he's back, because we
need him.
Well, it works both ways, doesn't it? We desperately need Tom Stewart, who's been really good. But do you reckon he'd be top five in the best and fairest?
Well, I had him third or fourth when we did that a couple of weeks ago with Reg.
He's back to his, best form. Last year he was probably a bit up and down.
Well, he had that knee issue.
But he's been really solid this year. Cats need him, obviously, firing. But then you ask your question, and do you go back to the theory that they probably took into, or the policy they took into round one, where I thought the Cats thought, look, we probably can't win this game. Yeah. Let's leave Cameron out. Let's leave Dangerfield out. We'll go up there. We'll have a hit out. It'll be basically effectively like a practice match. You never get the club saying that, but internally you can't win every game.
No, you can't.
So do they leave, if there's any erring on the side of caution, do they leave Stewart out and think, okay, if we can give Freo a run for their money without Tom Stewart, we've got something in the bank for later.
And there's another. What would have made life easier is if they had been able to tip over one of Carlton or Adelaide and be 10-4.
That's the one that gnaws at you.
And Hawthorn.
Yeah. Well, you cop the Hawthorn one.
No, you don't. You never cop getting beaten by Hawthorn.
No, you're right. You do.
We hit the front.
Without your Geelong hat on, well, I know you've got Geelong hat on, but you've played well against this top four side. Adelaide, losing to Adelaide by a point over there, you've played well against a top four side, and they're my smoky Adelaide. I think they are going to time their run.
And with what they did to the Dogs last week, it actually,
the Frank deformed for the Cats. Yeah. But the Carlton one is where you think, my God, how the hell could we lose to Carlton?
Who having hit the front. Isn't?
Yeah.
But then Carlton, the way it's going to open up for Carlton, the draw, there's every chance that they're going to sneak into a wildcard game.
Yeah, well, and then they'd be absolutely making up the numbers.
Yeah, they would be.
Yeah.
But occasionally.
So you think clubs would be hanging their hat on, we made the wild?
No, it's the most sought after position in football these days.
But Carlton will be from where they were.
It's like James Warple coming to Geelong to play in the twos flag. There's no interest in the seniors.
Talking about the twos, so Stengel's kicked four and had 16.
I watched a bit of that on the live feed.
But it's fair to say what they were playing was not much better than the GFL team.
And didn't the coach in his press conference, I did read some snippets on our network, and on a different network, that he basically, and I agree with him, he was basically saying, we're not really interested in the stats. Those games are so lopsided.
Correct.
That you and I, Cove, could probably lurk forward and kick a couple.
I reckon I would have got a couple on
Cheapies Saturday. Over the back. Yeah, Warren Ralph over the top.
I watched a bit of that, and I haven't watched a lot of VFL in recent times. But by golly, once upon a time, the VFL, you know, it was always a big step up from VFL, from the reserves to the seniors.
Yes.
It's
massive.
It's got to, you got to climb over Mount Everest.
So who caught your eye other than Stengel?
Werpel was all right, actually, again. But
he had about 30-something, didn't he? He had a heap of it.
Clark? Yeah, down the back.
Down back?
Yeah,
if he's getting back in, he's playing off halfback.
Well, he's not getting back. If he's playing halfback.
Well, so he's been groomed to play on the Wizard, is he? Because I don't think you'll find too many that he's taller than.
No, have you ever met his old man, Otis?
No,
Otis is...
His father was Steve.
Yeah, well, Steve, yes. Oh. Yeah, nickname's Otis.
Oh, good friend of him, Otis.
The Clark family are not tall people.
He did get the ball a lot, I tell you.
Do you think... We can talk honestly and openly here, Ian.
Right.
On the Cat Attack
podcast. Warple had 37.
Yeah, I read that.
12 clearances.
He dominated.
Clark had 31.
Yeah, I thought, because I want to look, we know they can play. Hunter Holmes?
Yes.
He's got something.
He had 22 and something, didn't he? Polkinghorne kicked a couple.
He looks all right. Well, he's built like an AFL footballer.
I'll ask you a straight question.
Mm.
And we need straight answers. Mm. Do you think the Cats have whiffed with the Jai Clark selection?
Up till now, it looks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, we have this debate, or don't have a debate, actually, Kellen Kingy probably agrees with me, but my theory is that usually with a player of his stature in terms of draft number, you'd see one trait where you say, okay, that's why. I just cannot see one trait of Jai Clark that would have you picking him in the top 10. He's short. He's not that quick. He's not the greatest kick. He's courageous, but you can get that at pick 70. He doesn't kick goals. He's limited in the positions he can play. I'm struggling to see one reason why you would pick him pick 7.
Well, he won the footy.
Yeah. They must have thought there is some development upside. Something is going to emerge. And obviously he had good application and he was going to train hard. And, you know.
Well, I think he does all that, doesn't he?
Yeah, and then you would hope that somewhere along the line something else then emerges and say, well, he can play there or he can do that.
I reckon they just drafted for need.
And what was the
need? And they reached. Well, they needed a midfielder at that time.
Well, that was Joel had retired.
Yeah.
And it was the first draft.
They were desperate
after.
For a midfielder and they got a local kid and I reckon if they had their time again, they would be taking Joel.
And unfortunately...
Do you know who we could have had? I reckon we could have had Ruben Jimby, couldn't we?
Yep.
We could have had Weddle from Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Would you like to have
him? He'd be handy in the middle.
Or up back, or up forward.
And he's been unfortunate on two things. One, he's a high draft pick to start with, so you always mark him harder.
Scrutinised.
Yep. Right? And so he gets scrutinised. And then secondly, you know, someone at some stage, very early before he was drafted, he's got a lot of Joel Selwood about him. Yeah. It's like when Clint Bizzle said that, no, who was it? Buddha said of Clint Bizzle.
Buddha.
He said he's like Gary Ablett. He does things at training that remind me of Gary Ablett. Well, he puts his jumper on, you know. Too many of those labels go on.
Patrick Dangerfield said that there was a bit of Chris Judd about Max Holmes, didn't he?
He did.
I think there's a lot of Max Holmes about Max Holmes.
Yeah.
Well, don't compare him to anyone.
Did you listen? I know you went home and were doing sort of quaffing your Shiraz and maybe some Wagyu beef on the Friday night down there in Bowen Heads. Did you happen to listen to the interview we had with Max Holmes?
I did indeed.
Right, okay. So I thought he spoke, I'm only on the radio, so I don't get to speak to him or see him, Kingy, like you do, but I thought from somebody we've spoken to a few times when he was younger. Yeah, he spoke really well. He felt confident. Yeah. He articulated himself quite well. He had an opinion.
Yeah, and he's not like all the other footballers. He doesn't talk in cliches.
No.
He has a different conversation. I've observed him with you guys the other night and then sometimes after the game he goes at the desk at one of the TV stations. Yeah. And he talks in a way he clearly is his own man.
Yeah.
You know, I really like his style.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting when they're deciding who the next captain is, because you look at it like from an external, is he your captain or is it because he is maybe a bit more unique that he's not your he might be your vice captain, but he's not your permanent leader.
Yeah, well, that's right. Dustin Martin didn't need to be captain of Richmond, did he?
No,
you know, To do match winning things. I'm not comparing.
And Bailey Smith's never going to be captain.
Tattoos on your neck, does that prevent you from being captain of an AFL club or not?
Well, it prevents him getting on at Bowen Heads.
He wouldn't get on at Bowen Heads unless he had a very high sort of skivvy
turtleneck.
Lee Trevino style. He would need that down there to be getting on at Bowen Heads. A couple of players have been turfed off golf clubs.
Right.
Or refused. I reckon Tom Stewart was refused to play somewhere with the tattoos. Oh. Might have been at Royal Melbourne.
Now, far be it for us to talk about people's appearances, but did you watch...
Well, speak for yourself.
Did you watch the end of the Australia versus Bangladesh the other night when the Geelong boy, Ollie Peake partnered with Cooper Connolly to get them... They needed 9 off 30 to win the game. And I think...
9 off 30 balls?
Yeah.
And they could have brought Jeffrey Boycott on.
Ollie Peake thought, the job's done here. I'll whack one as well. And he got out and precipitated. The next ball, Bartlett came in, gone. Suddenly the pressure was on. And then Connolly went. Anyway, they come out to the line up to shake the hands. And Labuschagne had no shoes on.
Had the beach look.
Ben Dwarshus, who got 4 of the worst runs you've ever seen off 12 balls and almost cost us the game. He was wearing some strange-looking socks with a pair of hush puppies.
Right. They love that look.
And leading the charge was someone else in the top order who had black socks and black shoes on.
Ben Dwarshus, is that actually his name?
Yeah.
Dwarshus.
Yeah.
Dwarshus.
Sounds like something you've been diagnosed with. I've got a bad case of the Ben Dwarshus.
It's about 37 points at Scrabble.
Yeah, on the triple
It'd be
word
enormous
score.
In Scrabble. After I took my mum with Scrabble.
So that anyway. Okay.
Hey, you're still revelling in that victory, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes. My 92-year-old mother.
What? Barracks for Bangladesh?
No, she doesn't follow cricket, but I went to visit her in the home. She likes playing. She's going a little bit in the mind, which is fine when you're that age. So I went up there, and she likes to play Scrabble. So just keep her sort of mentally sharp, and she's quite good at it, I must say. And I went up there a few weeks ago and said, Mum, let's have a game of Scrabble. Got my tiles out, my 7 tiles, and as I put them down, they basically spelt the word for me, kicked it off, 7 letters on the first go, urinate. On the triple word score, Mum was done. Right. Absolutely gone with 1 go. It was extraordinary.
Is that the biggest success you've had in your life?
Possibly.
He put down urinate and his mother said, you're
no,
a 9.
No, do you know what she put down? She put down an S on the end of it and then made a word. So she had a sense of humour. Talking about a sense of humour, the World Cup's on. Did you see the footage of Grandpa?
I haven't seen it.
So... I have to say I'm a bit of a heathen. I didn't watch the soccer. I took the dog for a walk. I just watched the 20 seconds of highlights. Enough for me in soccer. You don't need to watch the whole game. And so this happened. I don't think it was the Australia game, but I think it was in Europe. So Grandpa had the whole family over. There was the grandpa's kids and then their kids. There was kids all in the lounge room, and there was just that sort of typical home scene. I don't know who they were supporting. It certainly wasn't Australia. And then Grandpa had the big telly up on the wall, and one of the daughters put the TV on for Grandpa, and Grandpa's history came up on the screen, and it's fair to say, Cove, that Grandpa was offside. Grandpa wasn't on the straight and narrow. All the history came up.
Yeah. 18 plus.
And most of it was, wasn't fit. It was sort of nighttime activity sort of stuff. It was very, very funny.
What do I have to Google to find that?
Well, I can show it to you because I've got it on here. Yeah. I've also got, did you see the guy threw the cone up in the Knicks?
Yeah.
Did you landed on someone's head.
Apparently. Oh, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
You feel like anyway. You didn't knock him out because someone threw a chair in King Street and took out his mate. Did you not see that?
No, I didn't. I did see
outside of
outside
a club.
Of nightclub, yeah.
I've got to ask you, Cove. Mm. Obviously, you have a storied radio and media history, working for the Advertiser, the could have beens for how long? 43 years.
1,195 editions of the Footy Show.
Are you missing it?
I miss getting together with the chaps on a Saturday, but I don't miss having to go to Melbourne and back.
Yeah. You used to like it when Geelong had the 2:10 on a Saturday arvo and you could do the show from the ABC box?
Absolutely. Gee, that was terrific. I'd do the box till midday.
Yep.
And then just walk about 20 paces down the passageway at the back of the Brownlow stand into the pivots room. That was even better.
Perfect.
Your day was set.
No golf?
No. I've never been a Saturday golfer.
Yeah.
Footy's Saturday. So, no.
If you're Geelong, it's Thursday or Friday night.
Kingy, now that I'm here, yes, I do miss it a bit. I'm thoroughly enjoying being part of the K-Rock team. It is good to be out.
It's great to have you, Cove.
Well, it's good to go to the footy. And like, you know, I used to go to the studio and do stuff with a bunch of blokes and talk about the footy. So it's good to come in there. Not that I say a lot, but it's nice just to be there and listen to you guys. Yeah. And look through the windows to the other boxes of people I once worked with. You know, they're still hacking away in there.
And last week, to get the former skipper on.
Yeah, fantastic.
You must have pulled out some favours there.
No, it is around the corner.
He was fantastic, though, wasn't he? He was quite serious, wasn't he? He was sort of more serious than I.
The stuff he spoke about from COVID was some of that stuff hasn't, I don't think, been aired publicly. Before.
Yeah.
But we got some stuff out of. Yeah. If you haven't heard it, go to the K-Rock website now. You can get our audio of all our interviews and stuff like that. It's been well listened to since. For those who didn't hear it live, have gone back and.
Yeah, he was really good. Yeah.
And I think I made the comment in the end of the interview with him that the way he'd spoken to us, we got an insight in and reflected the sort of personality and character that he's had and the way, you know, the impact he's had on the club during his time and the way he still cares about people and that sort of stuff. It was there and it was right through the talk, you know. And from the very start, I'm sure a lot of footballers do the rounds and they do them and they just press F7, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
And when I asked the first question, when I was actually doing the intro to throw to him and he was sitting opposite me, he was making eye contact the whole time.
Yeah.
And as he was answering, he was looking at you because he's telling you, but at the same time he's telling all the listeners. He's really considered, thoughtful and focused. Yeah. And it's just terrific because it's funny watching some of those interviews out on the ground on the telly and the number of players that don't make any eye contact with Abby Holmes or...
Or call them mate.
Yeah, and all that stuff.
Do you notice, talking about those interviews, do you think that somebody at some point maybe had a word to Bailey Smith? Because he's actually been really good in the three or four that I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Last year he let himself down a little bit with the old, I'm going to go and drink piss with my mates and, like you're 16.
Do you reckon somebody
would have said something or do you reckon
doubt.
Do you reckon he's grown up?
Well,
I think
combination of both, I would have thought.
And we also know, Andrew Dillon and did Chris Scott go down there as well for the cup of tea?
Definitely A. Dillon, S. Hocking, I think A. Mackey were definitely down there.
Look, it's public that they went and talked to him. It just might have taken a little bit longer for what was talked about to sink in.
Yeah.
And he spends a lot of time, downtime, with Gary Jr. and Ollie Dempsey. Yeah.
Right.
And they can be nothing but good influences on him.
Surfing? Ollie Dempsey a surfer?
No, they go... They
coffees.
Have
right.
But little Gary,
if
I can drop a name,
I
did a function with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said that, they come and have a swim.
Yeah, right.
Him and Bailey and Ollie, and then they go and have the coffee.
Yeah, right.
So it's not just loafing around having a coffee. They have a bit of a swim in it. And Bailey is clearly not doing it under sufferance. He clearly wants to do it. And maybe that influence is slowly also taking.
He just seems like he's matured. I mean, I'm not suggesting, but he just his post game interviews, it's a snapshot I've seen of him. He looks like he's spoken quite well. He interestingly said that he doesn't, and I don't know whether it was sort of a throwaway line, but he doesn't do as many K's as you think.
No.
That's fascinating, wasn't it?
Yeah. He said, I'm more of a burst player and I'm not. You watch him play, and maybe he's off more than you realise, but when he's on the ground, his ability to run at 80% for the entire time he's on the ground is elite. So you'd think that would marry up with a lot of Ks. But obviously he does things at a faster pace, but a lesser number of kilometres.
And I think he reads the game so well. Like there was a couple there on Friday night where he actually got the ball in the back line and obviously put the afterburners on.
The foot down.
And was on the end of it down the forward line. But there's other occasions when he might get it in the back line. But he sees something else unfolding, and he'll hang around the centre and take a breather. So he's not running all the way. So I think he's pretty smart.
Yeah, it was interesting
when
that
he goes
He's and he's stronger than you think. I think he's you know, he holds himself up in tackles, and he's certainly an absolute key for the Cats.
And he could go all day if he needed to, because he does. I think he does more training than the rest. He mightn't run as much on the ground, but I think he does more training than them.
Yeah, yes. He's probably pretty frenetic with his training.
His standards are very high.
You're like you, Tom.
In that,
Have you ever put the afterburners on, Cove, or not? Have you ever had the afterburners to put on?
Back in the day.
Yeah, just explosive, were you?
Well, I did 3 marathons. You don't need afterburners for them.
They timed you with a sundial, didn't they, those?
That's, no.
It's, Benny, it's still 3 more marathons than you and I have run combined.
Yeah, I've done a couple of them asleep.
I remember...
I used to watch the footy marathon. Does that count?
I was on it. What
did you do, 86?
86, yeah.
And it was live?
Yeah, we did. We
all night?
Yeah, we broke tradition.
It's a lot of rage.
Yeah, we... Gordon Bennett, the legendary Channel 7 sports producer.
HSV7.
Yeah, we sort of came across Gordon's radar at some stage. And he had this idea. He said, oh, what are you blokes? You know, we're still on 3RRR, community radio. So this is probably the boldest thing Channel 7's done in 50 years. Because a lot of commercial television plays very safe.
Yes.
And it's more something you'd expect the ABC to do. Anyway, Gordon had this idea, and he said, well, what about doing the marathon? I said, oh, we always watch it, stay up and watch it. And so he assigned a producer to work with us called Andrew McVitie. Andrew McVitie was the original producer of Night Moves, which was a rock and roll show with Lee Simon hosting. Yep. And so McVitie was a bit of a legend, and he was a mad footy fan. He was a Cooderbeans fan, it turned out. So we had this first meeting with McVitie. He said, I'm going to be producing it. Now, what? We've got some ideas. He said, yeah, we want to go live. He goes, go live? He said, well, we can't get one cameraman to work after midnight. Anyway, he went back to Gordon, and Gordon said, how's it all going? He said, oh, they want to go live. And Gordon said, oh, what have we got ourselves into? Anyway, and what we also did was it used to go midnight till 7 and then cross to the North Melbourne breakfast.
Yes.
They decided to put us on at 11, so we'd go on earlier, and the first hour would actually be in ratings. And we went 11 till 8. It was 9 hours. Some people went and had a sleep out the back. I went the whole 9 hours, as did Jeff Richardson did.
Yep.
And then people came into the studio or watching at home and all this sort of thing. We had a barbecue going. That was the other thing that
happened. In Dorcas Street, South Melbourne.
Yeah. That was the other thing that happened when McVitie reported. He said, look, we're going to be in the studio or not. Why don't we have a barbecue going? So barbecue's galore, or someone donated a barbecue. And there was a phone.
They won't be doing that.
No, they won't. There was a phone-in competition. And so the best call of the night won the barbecue. I think they had to come and fetch it. They weren't delivering it. And so McVitie went. The big meeting of grand final week was up in Ron Casey's office. And Ron said, now what's happening? And I said, oh, your Brownlow Knights are under control, blah, blah, and this, that, and the other, and got the team in place for the call on Saturday. Now what about the footy marathon, Andrew? How's that going? And Ron had been a bit of a father figure to Andrew, and so he said, how's it going, Andrew? And he said, oh, there's the Cooderbeans. Who are they? That explained to Ron who we were and that. They're going to go live. Live? What's it? Yeah, they're going to have a barbecue in the studio. And Ron apparently said, Andrew, don't go any further. I don't want to hear any more. And I don't want to interfere. I've just got, you've got to tell them one thing. Don't burn the studio down.
Well, hopefully the Cats aren't burning too much down on Thursday night, isn't it?
We're Thursday night, Benny.
Thursday night.
Yes, can you be on the plane?
Yes, I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm surprised you haven't gone over today so you can go and watch Fremantle train.
Like Teddy.
About a week earlier.
Teddy in 95, they played on the Friday night, and Teddy said, I think we need to go Tuesday. We need to go and watch them train.
Because it was the first time Freo had played, wasn't it?
And it was one of the last games Ted actually called on K-Rock.
Yeah, 95, of course.
Early 95. Yeah.
So, what's their expectation for Thursday night?
Well, we beat them earlier in the year. I think we've got the wood on them, Benny.
Do you think if I'm looking at my
they've got to lose one soon.
I just wonder, like, you try and find any angle to you know, the hope that your team can win. My only angle was that that they're coming off a 7 zillion point win over North
and a bye.
Does that sort of soften you up, or Does the fact they're playing Geelong just steal them? Because they get Sarong back.
Mm.
They will get, I think they get Matt Johnson back. They will get Brennan Cox back. So they're pretty much at full strength, Fremantle, bar a couple. Is Myers coming back?
No.
For Geelong?
Yeah.
Well, he was only listed as... Actually, do you know, that's interesting. He wasn't asked about today. He was only listed as managed, so...
I think he would come back?
Yeah.
And we're hoping Stewart comes in. What about Bose?
Yeah, Bose is right.
Would you be happy if Bose actually remained out of the side?
Yeah, Bose...
I wouldn't be disappointed with that.
Bose might be getting on a plane and going to Southport rather than getting on a plane and going to Perth.
So if...
So does George Stephens stay in?
No.
I would have thought Optus Stadium is the last place George Stephens is playing. But you know what?
I was watching it closely on the telly, and I don't always pick these things up from the box in the back row.
Yeah.
But he got his hands on the ball a fair bit and got little handballs out in traffic.
He's very good at that.
How many possessions did he have? 15?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Well, to naked eye, it might look like less than 10, but he did some nice little stuff. But if he goes out, who goes in?
Well... I mean, I would have thought...
You don't want those...
Steve, track fast, weather fine.
Yeah, so
Clegg hammer reading of like 6.2.
So you might...
I don't know
Stewart.
If you want Stevens in. We saw a snapshot there of the difference between VFL and AFL. George Stevens dominates the VFL. He gets 30 possessions on his ear.
Because it stops
now, he didn't play poorly, but he was a little bit of a non-factor. 15 possessions
in it. But given there is a gap between it... It's a bit, you're expecting a bit much someone to come out of the VFL and suddenly...
No, that's what I'm saying. You
got to get a run at it. I thought it was disappointing last year. He had a good first one against Richmond that were no good.
He went to GWS.
And got towed up in the middle. But you say, well, you cut him a bit of slack and have another go.
I just don't think he covers the ground enough. And I've met him a couple of times. He's a lovely kid. But I just think he doesn't have the leg speed. That Friday night game, narrow GMHBA, slippery, he probably really suits him. Fast deck at... Perth, I don't know whether that's his go. Is Warple going to go?
Well, I
think that it'll be minimal changes. I think it'll be...
Well, if three come in, let's say they bring Bowes back in. They seem to have a fascination with Bowes, which I can't see. But if Myers and Stewart, let's say they're coming back in.
Yeah.
Well, Stevens would have to go
in. Yeah.
Who would be the other two?
Well, I reckon it's only Myers and Stewart for...
Stevens and
one other. Don't know who. Wiltshire's kept his spot.
I wouldn't be leaving, especially over there.
He was good enough too. He jumped on K Rock on Saturday at Barnes.
I did see that. He's got an interesting Yogi Bear style.
He does. Yeah.
It's a real sort of bouffant.
So he's confirmed he's re-signed for next year.
Yep.
He signed last week. He should have probably left it till this week.
Look, he's
tell you the other one too that I heard a whisper.
Yes.
Don't be surprised if Andrew Mackie, while he's in Perth, is catching up with Mitch Edwards' manager. It might be just for a little extension.
Well, that'd be good. I think that was mentioned, wasn't it? The Cats are in the mix for Ben King, are they?
Yeah, have been.
Is that what we're hearing?
And also Bailey Humphrey. Jed Walter.
Yeah, well, they're not going to lose both. Apparently,
they can't fit them in. Where are you going to put Ben King if you've got Jeremy Cameron, Shannon Neal?
Toby Green.
Well, no, I mean, Jeremy Cameron's not around forever. He's around for a year or two.
So Ben will play the VFL for a year until Cameron finishes. Is that your theory?
I think he can play King and Neal as your two linchpins if you were to get him, and then Jezza just becomes, he can play up on a wing. He can just roams.
Well, you were concerned, Ben, pre-match that we had too many marking forwards.
Well, I still am.
Well, then you want to add another one?
Well, you'd have to change the mix around for next year. Yeah, but, I mean, it was interesting that Hall... I mean, did you hear hear Jordan Lewis talk about Tim English? So, basically said won't be at the Dogs next year.
Going home. He's from Perth, isn't he?
He signed a four-year deal. But Jordan Lewis just... I mean, he doesn't strike me as one that generally says those sorts of things.
No, he just comes out with it.
He just said last night on whatever...
One of those shows.
On the couch or on the chair, whatever it's called, Tim English is very unlikely to be at the Bulldogs next year. I did some stats here. Well, someone else did them for me. I just copied them, but is the best way to do it.
Talking about stats,
yeah.
We actually overlooked, we've actually had more guests. Because we've had Hydro on a couple of times.
Oh, we have had Hydro. Jared Reed has come on.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, all Reed's right. been on. Big shout out to Hydro.
He'll be listening.
He loves the Cat Attack podcast. I was going to do a little pop quiz, okay? So if this is just to test your knowledge of the Cats, right, around stoppages.
Oh, yeah. I've had a long-term interest in it. I was disappointed it wasn't a factor when I wrote the footy in the late 70s.
So last week against the Gold Coast Suns. Mm. How many times do you think that Max Holmes was in a centre bounce?
Oh, be barely double figures.
I don't reckon he was that one.
No, might.
Three.
There you go. That's
three times. Yeah. So the three players we had in, there must have been, it doesn't say how many there was in total, but how many goals were kicking?
At Geelong.
No, all up 14 to 9, so it's 23, 24.
Plus the bounce for the start.
So 22, order. Bailey Smith, so basically everyone.
Yeah.
23, Tom Atkins,
yep.
Basically everyone. Guess who the other one is in there, was in there for virtually every set of
minutes? Mullen.
Yeah. So yep. They were the three. We had Max Holmes was in there for three. Tanner Bruin was absolute
donuts.
Dangerfield.
Well, played on a
Dangerfield
wing.
Three.
Yeah.
Well, Bruin played on a wing most of the night.
And the other one was George Stevens was in there for 10.
Ten.
Mm. So the three go-tos there are Smith, Atkins, Mullen. Are we happy with that? Now, I know that Max Holmes tend to play off half-back and then comes into the midfield. Yeah. Couldn't he be in there for the centre bounce and then sort of fashion it the other way around?
Because he does take it away out of the middle.
If he gets it, there's no catching him.
No,
yeah,
no.
When it's the old training when you need to know someone's a lot faster and you just point to the bloke in front of you and say, you chase after him.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand why they wouldn't have a potential weapon, because Atkins is defensive, so I'm happy with that.
Yep.
Bailey Smith can probably do a little bit of both, but if he gets it, you're happy with that.
Mullen's defensive.
Mullen is defensive, but Mullen doesn't really have the ability to win a clearance.
I think you need your ideal mix is probably, well, it depends on what the other mob are throwing in there, but your ideal mix is probably Smith, Holmes and Mullen.
No, or rather Atkins.
Okay.
Smith, Holmes and Atkins.
And then Mullen, if he is doing a run with...
Mullen's not in there.
Yeah, but if Mullen is doing a run with job with somebody, he's coming off a wing.
Or... Yeah, well, he comes off the wing.
He'll be in the vicinity.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we might see Holmes deployed to the middle this week.
I would have thought so.
He was taken out of the hard stuff in the middle this last Friday night because they need him to be absolutely cherry ripe.
Although his run off half-back on Perth Stadium would be...
Yeah. His run anywhere is good.
Yeah.
I'm happy with him across halfback. We've spoken about that a lot. But
would you go with a Smith Bruin Atkins? Would you be happy with that?
Well, Bruin didn't even go to one last week, which staggers me.
But would you be happy with that?
Yeah, yep. I'm happy with that. But I like Tanner Bruin around the ball.
But you don't want Mullen.
For whatever reason, the coaches seem to loathe him playing midfield. He was drafted as a midfielder.
But he played midfield early in the first three or four games and was really good.
Yeah, but then he's got to be versatile.
Yeah, but didn't he get injured?
Came off half back early. Definitely the Gold Coast game round back on opening round.
We were getting absolutely pantsed in that game.
Yeah,
they just seem to have this penchant for playing blokes out of position.
Penchant.
Yeah, and it's sort of frustrating. But who does Mullen? I've come to the conclusion at this stage of his career, and it's still young, that Mullen needs to be tagging or he's not playing.
He's going to
He doesn't. Wrong. Once you give him the license to just free roam, he becomes a liability.
He goes to Sarong and O'Connor goes to Murphy Reid.
Who goes to Brayshaw?
I think you just back.
I don't think you tag Brayshaw.
Yeah,
your meat and potatoes sort of doesn't kick it that far.
No, you can only tag one, and it's got. I think Sarong is their most influential midfielder.
Well, they got Young. He's a gun as well.
Yeah,
but Sarong is the one you probably do want to tag, and that Murphy Reid.
O'Connor goes to him.
But as he plays in the midfield, you probably can't have O'Connor and Mullen in the midfield. That's the problem. You've got two defensive type, creativity.
How much time is Reid spending up there?
Well, he's only a second-year player, but he sort of has the ability to... He's like the opposite of Max Holmes. Max Holmes plays in defence and goes through the midfield, you know, running off half-back. Reid's the other one who plays up forward and then goes into the midfield.
It's a bit Myers-like.
Myers-like.
But even more, he's more creative than Myers, says something.
I've seen Freo on the telly this year, Murphy Reid is in the picture if the play's around the middle of the ground.
He's unbelievably
creative.
Whereas
previously he was just, as we saw last year, just played...
Round one.
He's one that they're going to have to stop. Jackson in the ruck. Jackson and perhaps Darcy is fit. I think he is available to come back in, whether or not they select him.
I reckon De Koning's going to spend a bit more time in the ruck.
To run with Jackson.
Yeah, which makes sense. So who's then playing on Amos? Who's playing on Tracy?
O'Sullivan's probably going to Tracy.
I don't like that.
Okay, does he go?
He's in Man Mountain. I know he's not as tall, but he's so physical. I'd nearly chance my arm.
Well, who goes to
with Colin Chesney?
All right, so who goes to? So does O'Sullivan go to Voss?
I'd have Henry on Voss.
JDM.
And I'd have O'Sullivan on Amos.
Okay.
Because Tracy, I don't know how tall he is. I don't think he's. Is he 196 or have I given him a couple of? Is he or is he more of a 192 similar to Jack Henry?
Amos.
No, sorry, Josh Tracy.
So Amos is 196.
Yeah, and, that's, so that's Connor O'Sullivan. Yeah.
Hang on.
And Tracy.
He's an elite hand.
And he puts his arms up straight too, doesn't he?
And he's a beautiful kick. I reckon he's got a funny feeling he's more of a 192. Sort of Jake Colajasny dimensions, and Voss is probably a bit the same.
193.
Yeah, so that Colajasny's 193. Strength, Ukrainian, that steel over your head, Robert Kabas sort of stuff is what Colajasny
does. Voss is 195.
Well, I'm happy with Henry on that. Yeah. So I think we've got three good options there. Yeah. And if they're not working, you can at least shuffle them around.
It'd be interesting to see what ruck setup they do go with. The Dockers, whether they go with Darcy and then Jackson spends. Well,
Darcy's been in the waffle. Yeah. I think he's coming back from injury, but he's available to play.
And when Darcy hasn't played, who's shared the duties with
Cox?
Yeah, Brendan Cox, who was out.
Not Mason.
No, Mason Cox.
Oh, Mason Cox.
Yeah.
Mason Cox.
So he's. I'm happy Jackson. For him to play. I don't rate him at all.
The worry would be that would stretch Geelong. Well, that means De Koning's probably going back to play on him if he's. And you'd back to Curran.
It's the old mouth-watering matchups in this game, isn't there? Mm. Does Pearce go to Cameron, or does he go to Neil? And does Cox go to...
I think Cox has got to go to Neil.
Yeah. Well, then who goes to Cameron?
Pearce, probably.
Yeah, it's interesting there.
Like, they've got Switkowski. Like, does a Zach Guthrie have to go to a Switkowski?
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, but the thing is, they're their bit pup. They don't have a weakness, Fremantle.
No.
Not on paper, not anyway.
I don't know how that's happened overnight, sort of thing,
Well, I think it's...
They've been there or thereabouts, and you think... And they've had most of those players, but they must have had a really good pre-season or something.
Well, they've always had it. They've got three really good defenders in Pearce, Brendan Cox, and Liam Ryan. Luke Ryan.
Liam Ryan's in good nick at the moment.
They've got Jordan Clark, who's a good rebounding player. They've got a really good midfield, Young, Brayshaw, Sarong, Reed's gone in there. They've got a gun ruckman in Jackson. They've got two gun forwards in Amos and Tracy. And then you add Voss in his lot, the third banana. Like, if Voss was in a poor team,
he'd be no good.
I reckon. But because
he was at Essendon in a poor team.
And they got rid of him.
Yeah, now
but he's playing, he gets the third third defender, and he's really dangerous. And you could probably say the same about the Cats over the years. They've had some players who have been the beneficiary of that as well. I mean, Neil and Cameron now taking the two best. It filters down to who goes to Dangerfield, who goes to Ollie Henry. When Stengel was playing, they're a bit of a nightmare matchup, the Cats, because they've got some quality that's third, fourth, fifth in line.
When that cast your mind back to their very first game this year, Voss actually got the ball a bit but couldn't kick. He missed a couple of shots down in front of us to the left there.
Yep.
He could do some damage if he actually got the radar.
I wonder how much the Cats would look at the first game that they played against the Dockers. They were, was it 6-1 or 6-2 at quarter time?
38 points up, were they?
I reckon they were. I reckon it was a six. I'm sure they kicked 6, but I'm not sure how many we were at quarter time. We weren't many. And then
8-4-3-1.
At quarter time. Yeah, we were leaking like a sieve early, weren't we?
But, and I reckon we got one late to get it to 3.
But after that, I reckon we outscored them 13-6 from quarter time onwards. Yeah. We arm wrestled back into the game. Now it wasn't,
and they complained they hadn't played the week before, so they were underdone. Gee, they got overdone pretty quickly.
They did. They did.
Remember, Sean Manor started the second quarter with that burst, kick three.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's key for us. Ollie Henry was okay again.
Yeah.
I know you probably know the answer, but how many goals do you think Ollie Henry's kicked this year?
Oh, he would have kicked 18 or 20. 23 is up there. Oh, did he kick? How many kicked the other night?
He kicked two.
Okay.
He's become this year a sort of 10 or 11 possession, two goal player. And playing the role he does, that's pretty good.
But previously he was 10 or 11 possessions and two goals. He's now 10 or 11 possessions and three or four sacrificial acts.
Yeah.
He's actually putting the body on the line, laying a tackle, which you've got to do to be a proper defensive forward.
Yep.
Whereas he was always just focused on being an offensive forward.
Our runners will be key on Thursday. Yep. You know, Dempsey getting involved. We need Holmes to play well, obviously.
That's why Myers, do you hope, is right.
Yeah, Myers is the other one that's creative. Manor.
I reckon they might have rolled the dice not playing Myers on Friday night. Just go, let's get him a week off, get him knowing that he's going to have to cover some Ks on Thursday.
And getting Stewart back, well, hopefully he comes back. Because I think if he's out, it makes it difficult. But it'll be interesting to see what they do, whether Bowes comes back in. The Cats are... Look, if they could somehow steal it, I mean, I'm not... Expectation is that they won't. But even a really good competitive effort,
Yep.
I think. Because, I mean, there's a fair chance that Geelong will be playing, you hope, will be playing either Sydney or Freo in the first week of finals.
Well, you're qualifying.
Yeah.
If it was on now.
Well, even...
Because it mightn't be like this in 3 months' time, whatever it is.
No, that's right. But, yeah. I mean, if Freo beat Geelong, they're going to finish on top.
I think finishing
barring
top
an absolute
anyway.
Miracle. Yeah. Sydney are going to finish second.
Yep.
I've maintained, I think Sydney aren't a quite gettable team in heat of battle against... I'd be fancying the Cats playing well at the SCG. I wouldn't fancy them so much against Freo over there.
You want questions, Benny?
Yeah, I love them, Gee.
All right. Rudy Groschenschlonger.
Oh, Rudy Groschenschlonger.
I recall Zach Guthrie being the source of angst for We Are Armchair Selectors. Then it was Oisin Mullen. Now the lament seems to be players being deployed out of position. I recently heard an interesting theory that these positional shifts are deliberate experimentation so that when the whips are truly cracking in September, coaching staff are well-versed in which magnets can be moved where and when. Could it not be the case that a coaching group boasting Brownlows, Norm Smiths, all Australians and multiple premiership medals as both players and coaches might know a little bit more than those of us whose coaching experience begins and ends with the remote control?
Oh, no doubt, but I think sometimes you can get too smart by half. At times I think the Cats tend to do that. I mean, we have a history of things that have gone right, but we have a history in big games of the coach pulling the wrong lever. Leaving Reece Stanley out of that final, playing Lockie Henderson up forward when he missed 5 weeks and never played up forward, dropping Dan Menzel.
Not putting Mark Blitzars back onto Tom Lynch.
Playing Jai Clark in the defence last year's grand final. Mm. There's a history of it, but yeah, you're right, 100%. They're trying to, they're experimenting for something that may happen down the track where you, but at the same time, you have to be really careful that you're not experimenting at the expense of your ladder position.
Yep.
I mean, it's great. Oh, we experimented this year. Yeah, we finished seventh, so we can't win it. Yeah. But there was a lot of experimenting going on.
But the thing about it is, look, Rudy, is it?
Rudy Groschenschlonger.
Groschenschlonger. Are you familiar with the Groschenschlongers?
No, only the smaller Schlongers than the grossest one. You can cut that one out.
No, he doesn't. We can get quite likely on here. Okay, that'll pass the litmus test. Yeah,
I just detected a hint of cynicism in Rudy there with his comment or the way his loaded question was, as if people like Benny and you're experts. Well, you don't need to be an expert to watch the football and notice they are playing players in lots of different positions. And then you don't have to be an expert to then extrapolate. Hope that word's not too long for you, Rudy.
Well, it's not with a surname like Groschenschlonger.
No, it sort of matches up.
Good Scrabble name.
And it doesn't so much to extrapolate then that clearly they are experimenting and doing this to get them versatile for later in the year. And I think the coach has actually admitted that's what they're doing. Mm. And you know what? They're not the only club doing it, not the only team doing it. But the big factor is if you think that players might get, you've got to settle them down so they're in the right spots because you might, be too smart for yourself. The big thing is, to use that expression that gets overworked, clearly at Geelong with the players, there's a lot of buy-in on this and they're happy to do it. They half the time they seem to direct themselves to move around while the game's on. I'll just finish off in a flood of clichés. Look, the proof of the pudding is going to be revealed at the business end of the season.
Absolutely. But do you need to be, I mean, Jack Henry, do you need to play him up forward to know that if you're desperate, you can pinch it up forward?
We know he can. We've seen
they did play him up there purposely. Yeah. That was no experiment. He went and played on Harris Andrews to stop him.
But then the
next 2 weeks he played up forward as well. So we probably knew that that could happen. Is that an experiment? We've seen it before. Max Holmes playing off half-back, that's not really an experiment. You probably know that is going to work. Where else are we experimenting with Tom Atkins or Tanner Bruin playing behind the ball? That's an experiment. Do you think it's working? Bruin or Atkins behind the ball.
I'd prefer to see Bruin around the ball.
I would too. And I would prefer to see Tom Atkins around the ball because I don't think he offers you anything as a halfback.
Mm. Anyway, the way the game's played these days, there's not really much behind the ball because everyone's around the ball all the time anyway.
I get that. But the only thing is if you are – there is some element of you need to defend if you're playing halfback.
When you're structuring up.
Yeah, when you're getting your process and structure right.
Just for
structure up.
Very quickly.
I think Grandpa was structuring up when he was getting –
Wait, what?
When he had control of the remote.
Yeah. Just on email, I've actually just got the Cats media team injury update.
Oh, yeah.
So Bowes, hamstring tightness test, close ankle test, Stanley knee test, Stewart concussion protocol. And it just says in the email, Tom Stewart's continuing progress through the AFL concussion protocol with the club to monitor his availability throughout the week for Thursday night's game. So I suspect he'll be on the plane and then they'll see how he wakes up.
So Myers is in then.
Yeah, no mention of
that. From the day that Tom Stewart contracted concussion, do you contract concussion? Got concussed, would he be clear of the mandatory?
Yeah, today was the day.
Right.
So it's 12
days. And he's got a couple of days.
Yeah. Tomorrow is the day. Tuesday, yeah.
Do you know whether he's trained or?
No, I can't be certain.
No,
then what happens when that 12-day thing is up?
Then they've still got to meet certain markers.
So
in terms of cognitive.
So if they asked him if and he says he's Martha Stewart, you'll know that he's
still
not,
has to remember his just, first pet's name.
Just on the Geelong injury.
It's like when you log in your bank and you remember you got to answer two questions. Everyone goes, what school did you go to? What was the name of your primary school? And what was the first name of your first pet?
Yeah.
There's eight players on Geelong's injury list. Four of them are tests.
Mm.
Stewart, concussion protocol. And
are they studying for their tests, are they?
Test.
Jacob Molly, a conditioning 3 weeks. Toby Conway, foot and knee.
Right.
TB confirmed. And Harley Barker. I don't think we'll see Harley Barker this year. Andrew Mackey's actually on with us in the pregame on
again.
Thursday night.
Mackey, be he's invoicing us. Have we got any other questions?
Yes, we do.
Reece Stanley hurt his knee because he wasn't playing Saturday when I checked it.
His magnet has fallen into the bin with Jed Buse's magnet.
Yeah, I think Reece Stanley knew what he was walking into.
Well, they brought him in for one. I thought he might have got another one.
He actually played okay as well.
He did.
Yeah.
I thought there was another ruckman I thought they might have brought him in against Brody Grundy.
Well, they left him out, and his magnet is now being...
But the Swans game, they rotated to Koning...
Neil
and Edwards, didn't they? Throw him. And actually, it worked. There's that triple teaming.
I think it's referred to as a three-pronged attack.
Well, that might have been Brody Grundy's quietest output for the year, actually, that day.
Trevor Young, after the bye, we'll need to start settling the lineup. Let's start with the forward line. Who makes up our best forward six, bearing in mind Stengel might be an outside chance to regain his spot in the team closer to finals? If Tyson Stengel keeps tracking the way they expect him to, I reckon by the end of July he's playing AFL.
In 8 weeks? 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Well, that'd be good.
And with five on the bench, I think you've got the luxury of doing it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's in your best team.
In your best team.
Yeah, if he's in the right shape. And I'm not saying you can't take anything from the weekend.
No, they played basically a GFL team.
Yes. Well, but he's also, though, even that being the circumstance, he still illustrated he knows how to kick a goal.
Oh, yes. He does, yeah. So the best mix would be Cameron, Neil, as your two tall defenders. Yep. I mean, Dangerfield is going to be in there as a forward.
Ollie Henry.
As your third. Ollie Henry as five.
Manor.
Well, Manor and then Stengel.
Yeah. Is Wiltshire then your seventh forward?
And no Brad Close.
No Close
and no Martin.
Yeah.
Jack Martin's had, I reckon he's had his last seven quarters, he's touched the ball about six times.
Well, he can easily be on the bench.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about the forward line looks like, yeah, you can name six, but there'll be a couple other alternative forwards on the bench.
He's had seven quarters where he's been in witness protection, Jack Martin, so hopefully he can London fog and lift.
Marky Mark, Cassinelli's number one season ticket holder. Was Stengel late for the VFL game? Cats playing four on the bench at the start of the game.
Okay. He wasn't injected into the game until the quarter time.
Yeah.
He didn't play the first quarter.
Yeah, there you go.
That could mean he was late.
Oh, that or, yeah, I don't know.
Jeez, Key, you need to do a bit of digging there.
George Fungus style.
Yeah. Because if they're only going to play him three quarters, why wasn't it quarters one, two and three?
Yeah, not sure. Take some of the heat out of...
Maybe he was. Surely he couldn't possibly be late.
No. Also, thoughts on George Stevens. He looked absolutely gassed at the end. I didn't pay any attention.
Well, I didn't see that. He played okay. We've spoken about it. I just think he's unfortunately just doesn't quite have the leg speed against certain oppositions, and I think they'd be really reticent to play him in the West.
And I would suggest his gassedness was a result of the fact that you're playing at a much higher tempo in the AFL.
I was gassed after the game.
I knew that it'd get to that. I thought I deliberately used that word to see how long it took you to turn it into
something. I took the bait. It was just like a lure through the water.
The door opened.
I rang Sportsbet. They wouldn't give me odds.
No, you get that boost at that minimum 300 boost out to $2.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, do we Geelong supporters take for granted how good the number 14 is going to be? His read on the play and his one-on-one is next to none. Even the way he speaks with the media is fantastic. Can see him being the next skipper when the time is right.
Yeah, I agree, Mr. Tedesco. And I've been, I mean, I'm not breaking any news, but I've been on his bandwagon for since he started. If you go to the games live, you get a much better understanding of how he goes about it. And often in when you're watching on TV, you'll see the quick kick come out and then the defender is 4 metres in front of the forward, and you don't get to see how that's happened. You think, how the hell can that possibly happen? His ability to use his body prior to the ball getting there and then position himself to actually spoil or get across and help or whatever it is, his craft, I think they call it, is that the expression, is elite, and it's only going to get better.
And it will, because he doesn't always get it right.
No, but that's my thing. You're in a game where you're not going to get it right all the time.
No.
Better players get it right 7 or 8 times out of 10.
I'm just trying to manage your expectations, because you're going down the...
He's Matthew Scarlett style.
I'm just worried that Benny's going to go down the Buddha Hocking, Clint Bizzle, Gary Ablett comparison. Yeah, no, because he's had a couple of... Well, the thing is, he's had the toughest assignments. He is tall, but he always gets blokes that are bigger than him.
Well, he's 198, I think.
Yeah.
He runs like a fighting farm. He's just turned 21.
He has turned 21.
He hasn't played 50 games yet, has he?
No, he's played 40.
Yeah.
Name me one other defender that's played for the Cats who's had the impact in the first 40 games as a key defender.
Well, De Koning did.
One season, and then he sort of went into... This is now a year and a half. Yeah. He played one game in his first year, wasn't it? Every game last year, bar being managed for a game or two.
Tacone was about the same. Didn't he play one in his first
year? Yeah, he was a second-year player, and he was fantastic, but he couldn't maintain it. He dropped off, and they won a premiership or whatever it is. He dropped off. He's come good again.
Mm.
But I can't think of a player, even Harry Taylor, who came in as a little bit of a more mature player at 20, 21.
Oh, Taylor's... Remember, Taylor was All-Australian in his second year, I think.
Was he? Mm. Yeah, well, okay. There's one. There's not many, though. You won't find too many.
Scarlett struggled early.
Yeah. But he...
In the number 41.
Once he got to 30.
I tell you, just to be doing what he's doing at his dimensions in his third season with 40 games on the clock against good players now is amazing.
And he gets... he's on Ben King. He plays on all the forwards, but... He has to body them again. I'd love him to get a little bit more freedom, because when he does get a run at it, doesn't he mark it well?
Well, that'll be the next evolution of his game. But there was two or three occasions where he outpointed Ben King point blank, one-on-one, and marked it. Mm. It happened twice that I can remember. Yeah. They came in at a one-on-one, and he just completely outmarked him. Mm. He doesn't have any deficiencies. His left side perhaps isn't as strong. He needs to maybe work on being able to kick on his left a bit more. But I tell you, he's trending towards being a star.
And they got that selection right.
Absolutely,
they did. That's one of the great selections.
Well, the irony there is that if you go through the Cats' history, they haven't had a great history of drafting key position players. Mm. We've had a litany of spuds, haven't we? Mitch Brown.
Mm.
Who else did we...
Bluey picked Mitch Brown being no good early.
Yeah, Mitch Brown. We've had a few. Who else was there, Kingy? There's a couple others that they've taken.
High draft picks?
Relatively high.
Cooper Stevens?
He was a midfielder. Yeah, they got that one wrong.
There was a name that the skipper brought up on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was training with him, he said.
So I think Jordan Clark got put under the... captain's wing, because Jordan Clark was the first to admit that he didn't do much work. When the shutdown happened, Jordan went home to WA and didn't do a lot. Mm. He came back not in great shape. And I think when he did come back, you might go and hang out with the 14, mate.
And it worked.
It's a shame that the 14's influence wasn't strong enough on to keep him, because he'd be pretty handy off. Max Holmes would be in the centre all the time now. Jordan Clark was on a half-back flank.
Well, I think, in fairness, the Cats want to keep him, but he wanted to go home, and they decided just to facilitate the trade like they so often do.
Who did we get to
him? Tim Kelly was the same. I think we got Brett Spinks, did we? I don't know.
I'd have to go and have a look.
It's an unbelievable trade. We got
David Haynes. We've got David Haynes in the
former
Eagles.
Former number one draft, former first-round pick of the Eagles, I think, David Haynes.
Yeah. Mick Howley, how many weeks until they could consider Stengel? Kicked four, but not a lot of chasing. Yeah, that's end of July, I would have thought.
Yeah, we'd probably need at least a month.
Yeah.
Minimum month.
When you were running through the injuries before, and of course, you got to the last one there, talking about draft picks, Harley Barker.
Yes. Mm. Would have been top 10 if not for the knee.
Yeah, we're not seeing it at the moment because he's getting over an ACL. But reports coming out of Canadian Park, they like him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he hasn't had to do anything, but he must have done something where he picked up a footy and handballed it to someone and said, phew.
How often do you hear in footy that they like him a lot?
Yeah. Well, that's
the beauty of Geelong, though. I mean, some clubs probably would be reticent to draft a player coming off a knee, given there is a bit of pressure on.
Well, Joel Selwood was coming off a knee.
Yeah, that's right. His knee was no good, and he only 400 games later, and they built a stand after him. They're still questioning his. I mean, the doctor at Collingwood said Steve Johnson wouldn't stand up. I think he won about three flags after that. So that's the beauty of Geelong. They're able to take someone like Barker, knowing that he was never playing this year. Yeah. I don't know whether every club is in a position to do that.
No.
You got to appease the
fan base. They want instant.
Yeah, well, they want somebody to come in if you're picking pretty high. Mm. Geelong have been, I mean, look, proof will be in the old pudding, to drop another cliche that Cove used. But the highlights I saw, he looked like a big wingman who's got good skill.
Mm. All right, Dudas Maximus, are our police off the Cat Attack podcast big footy page? Are our players spoiling each other's marking more often than other teams? Opposing teams are roving off them, doing a Bradbury on us. Is it just a communication issue? I guess in the long term it improves our players' contested marking. I've noticed that a little bit.
Spoiling each other?
Yeah.
Well, I thought the thing on Friday night, particularly when they had some good good transition.
Oh, yeah.
And then bombed it in, and all the forwards seemed to go. It wasn't so much they were spoiling each other. There was no crummer when the spoil occurred. Ball was taken away a bit too easily.
Yeah, well, that's what happened the week before against Adelaide.
Is this a trend emerging?
And Carlton.
Yeah, see,
well, we don't have anybody that crumbs.
Mm.
We've got all aerial experts.
But maybe one of the three aerial experts could actually lead up, and the kick would actually be to a lead-up player.
That'd be logical to do that.
Yeah, well, the logic hasn't been there for the last 3 weeks.
It's a concern. It'd be interesting to see how they go against Freo, because they have the capacity to whisk it away in transition.
And their blokes lead up.
Yeah, Tracy and Amos are very good lead-ups.
Yeah.
Cats do it better, boys. Great chat with Joel pre-game. We've got a few things to iron out in the team. That's not the K-Rock team, and some quality to come back in, but still plenty of time to do that. Question on the coaches. If we lose any assistants to vacant roles, do you think we'll replace them for the rest of the season? Normally, if this happens, it's towards the end of the year. Someone usually steps up internally. Could we see someone come in for a few months? Well, that'll come down to when Essendon and Carlton appoint. So there was some talk that if Buckley got the Tasmanian gig, he would stay on. But if Kelly or Raleigh were to get a job, that they would...
I would have thought the Buckley thing would be set now. They wouldn't have got him and then thought, hang on, round 18, I'm off.
You think he's going to Tassie?
I think he's going to Tassie, but Geelong would have had that set that he was going to see out the year.
Yeah.
That would have all... I'd be staggered if that wasn't
Geelong
set
Geelong doesn't have a massive coaching staff. Nigel Lappin step up into a Mark Corrigan step up as an assistant?
You're right. It would depend on if Kelly was to get a job there at Carlton or Essendon.
I think Kelly's the most
How early likely. It was, yeah. If it was very close to the finals...
Sando... Didn't coach in the finals in 2011.
Yeah, that's right.
Did he?
Yeah,
he came down to the fence and hugged the players.
It does make it awkward. It does make it awkward because he'd want to get in and get as a senior coach. He needs to have his feet under the desk at the club he's at rather than at the Cats.
I could pretend I'm one of those people sending things on the K Rock footy line and ask a question.
0456955955.
He remembered it finally.
It's only taken you 4 years.
The Buckley thing, do you reckon he would have actually, because he's a pretty organised sort of guy, so he took the Geelong job, but he also was upfront that he's doing this to prepare to get the Tassie. Do you think he might have actually spoken to Tassie Wells and said, look, if you want me, I want to see the year out of Geelong.
Yeah. And Geelong, vice versa, would have said to him, if you're coming to us, we don't want you racking off at round 18.
No.
And he doesn't need to go there. They're not playing next year, Tassie, anyway.
No.
Playing VFL.
No, he doesn't need to be there. If it's a different set of circumstances if you're taking another job, say, round 16, 17, 18 at another club as a senior coach. You probably can't stay on at your club then.
My mail was that he had drifted in the betting.
Tassie. Who's firmed?
And Kenny Hinkley had firmed. And then someone I put this to said, no, I don't think Kenny wants the main job, but he might get like the footy manager type
job. Yeah, I
job.
Think he's in line for the footy managing
role. He's the man to get in the car and drive from Hobart up to Lonnie and go to all the pubs on the way and go and talk to Pete and the bar and get him on board. You know?
I think they've had him earmarked for that footy manager's role for a while, so it wouldn't surprise to see me.
But he might still have an itch. He wants to scratch when it comes to coaching.
Possibly.
Buck certainly has.
Possibly, yeah.
Great to see the VFL team doing so well. Good for development. Would love to win the double flag.
I thought that to myself the other day too. I'm thinking the VFL side have been pretty ordinary for a number of years, and suddenly we're on top, miles ahead.
We're stacking the twos, are we?
But James Warple's coming, as you said, to come and play in the twos flag.
But every club's got a couple of blokes from the AFL playing. It's not like we're absolutely stacked with them.
No, but what is in there is pretty handy.
That's the thing I observed, which made me a footy expert. What was his name again? The Gross Schlonger?
Groschenschlonger.
Groschenschlonger.
What's his name?
Rudy.
Rudy. I'm turning myself into an expert here, Rudy. When I watched that, I don't know who they are because they've all got number 68 and 75 in it, but they play in a manner which is very reflective of the way the AFL team plays.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily something you see with all VFL teams.
Tanner Lewis played very well.
He did
four goals.
And they lost a few in the mid-season draft, didn't they?
Yeah, they lost Kai Anand and Marcus Herbert.
Herbert debuted on the weekend.
They both did. Yeah.
So, anyway, that hasn't dented them. Anything else there, Kingy?
Fox Dog 50, good call Friday night. Jack Martin, to me, he does or plays like a good 10 or 15 minutes part of the game, and that's all you see for the rest of the game.
He never
plays terrible, but for me, he doesn't do enough to warrant his selection.
No, I'm on board there.
I've been rooting for the selection of George Stevens for getting games. Can you tell me what role did he play Friday night? Benny, I'll ask you yourself your kind of question you would ask. Have you ever been rooting for someone before? why is that? They seem to be playing players out of position. Bruin, Stevens, etc. I really don't like it personally, but if it was a final tomorrow and we were playing Brisbane, would you play Jack Henry on that role on Harris Andrews again?
Yeah, 100% you would. On Harris Andrews, is if there is a specific role for him in quelling a key defender who gets in the way as much as Andrews does, 100%.
Mm.
But I would not be just playing him as a go-to forward. I mean, Stevens can only play one role, and that's as a midfielder.
Yeah.
That's why he was in there. He probably had limited game time, but he was in for 10 centre bounces. So he doesn't have the speed to play anywhere else other than your inside mid, feeding it out to players, which in the VFL he is elite at. The AFL, would you love to... Could he get the ball 20 times? Yes. Could he get hurt on the spread? Yes. Is he a bit of a Charlie Constable? Possibly. And would you like to see him get a run at it? Well, the answer to that is probably yes. But do you want to do that? We can't really be experimenting with... We can't have too many experiments going on at the one time. If you can't have a Bunsen burner going on over there, and then you sort of rat that you're going to, you know...
You'll burn the school down.
You'll do something, yeah.
Or the studio.
And Charlie Constable went over to Perth, didn't he, to play in the Waffle?
He went to the Suns.
Went to the Suns and then ended up in the Waffle.
Yeah, that's where he...
Yeah. Shook, they called him.
Yeah, you need to get over early so you can catch up with him. He's a really good bloke, Charlie.
Yes.
Played golf with him and really enjoyed his company on the course.
Ollie Wiltshire is running the Lee Tudor hairstyle.
It's more of a sort of a, I don't know what you describe it as, there's waves to it.
Well, it's got a bit of Rob Ruff too.
It has a little, I thought of that. It looks heavy.
Yeah.
It looks like it's...
And he runs the double earrings too. He's left and right ear.
Really?
Yep. Howler 41, not firing on all cylinders, but certainly a better effort than the previous 2 weeks. For me, Martin would go out. Two very quiet weeks, 2 weeks off would be beneficial.
Yep.
Can't see George getting a run on the big expanses of Optus. No, it's defence first, but I love it. I love SDK as he progresses to fly for marks more often. I could really see a world where he becomes a Harris Andrews type defender. Still an issue with 3/4 of the team flying for the same mark inside 50.
Yeah,
love Shannon Neal to take more shots at goal. Great, he's a team player and passed to better positions.
What about the kick when he did take the shot for goal?
It's beautiful.
But I'd back his set shot over anyone else. Tough trip west. Hope the Cats can at least challenge the Dockers. Perth is effectively a different country, so you might as well tell the Bluetooth story. No.
How does Damien Hardwick cope with the crowd at Optus influencing the umpires? To...
Which country coliseum is it over there? Yeah. I mean, and what about Adelaide Oval? It's a
Can they put the pressure on over there?
The Lord of Sleepy Hollow. How good was it having the skipper on pre-game? Selwood speaking about a manager's meeting mid-season where he said he would play on in 23, only to realise driving home later that he couldn't and 22 would be it. Shows why he's an all-time great. Has he said that before?
Probably not.
I haven't heard him say about how he left his manager thinking he was playing.
I'd have to revisit his book.
Yeah.
Get it out. I've got it at home.
Yeah, I don't recall. If it was in the book, it would be in my head.
Yeah, or in the press conference, his last press conference. Yeah. Which brings me to...
Who is his manager?
Lucy... is it still Lucy Camus from...
Don King, wasn't it?
No, sorry. Lucy Camus looks after...
Max Holmes.
Max Holmes. Is it Petroro?
Tommy Pizzurro. You're right. Yeah.
Which brings me to Patrick Dangerfield. I reckon...
It wasn't Captain Lou Albano, was it? Off the wrestling.
It wasn't. Who's the other bloke? It wasn't. Is it Dana White?
Yeah, it does the boxing, the UFC promoter.
There's this extraordinary video of the Donald and Dana. Mm. They're all set to go under the
sphere.
Under the sphere in the lawns of the White House. Mm. And the camera follows them from the most furthest away room of the White House, the two of them marching along around, not talking. Donald's a half a step in front of Dana all the way. Mm. They don't talk. There's no gagging.
Nothing.
And they finally arrive on the balcony and he gives a couple of points and waves. He's the main man. He created that, didn't he? The
UFC. Yeah, I don't follow it. But
no, I don't.
It's amazing, isn't it, that you'd be using the White House to have a UFC for.
Well,
what do you think we'd be having on the lawns of Parliament House in Canberra?
No. The lodge.
The lodge. What do you think they'd have there?
Oh. They play cricket.
Like they'd have a thongs and sort of T-shirt barbecue. Or what would they have?
They play cricket on the front lawn at Yarralumla.
Yep. Usually during the Sydney, before the Sydney test.
Yes. Yeah. Kirribilli. Sorry,
yes,
Kirribilli.
Yes, Yarralumla's Canberra.
There's that many of them. Yeah, Kirribilli, and they have this little game of cricket on this sloping lawn.
Ball ends up in Sydney Harbour. Which brings me to Patrick Dangerfield wanting to play on in 2027, or has so been touted in the media. Benny, you asked the fair question last week. Is it actually good for the Cats? If Danger plays on, does he risk going 1 year too long and shunting the development of the youth who need those first team minutes, potentially damaging his legacy, or being in a similar situation as Tomahawk with injury and not being able to get back into the best 22 for a farewell game? Plus, if his body limits him to fewer games,
long
game
question.
Time, and being limited to forward line game time, does that limit our flexibility next year?
Yeah, I think that it's you couldn't say one way or the other, you know, categorically, but I think they'd be all pertinent questions to be asking when you're talking.
I think he's playing on.
Yeah, I look, and I don't think he'd ruin his, you know, impact his legacy. I don't think it would go that far, but I do think that they'd be asking, you're not, let's put it this way. We're talking about Patrick Dangerfield, and my first thing is all those questions there are reasonable. You're not thinking, that's a load of rubbish.
And the club would be thinking it, and he'd be thinking it at the moment too. All those things are on their agenda. But the manner in which he's been played this year does suggest it will give Neil the potential ability to do the same thing again next year. If he'd have continued to play in the middle the way he'd been playing his whole career, he might have hit the wall.
I agree. And I just think there is an element of stymieing the development of others. I mean, since Martin's come, Ollie Henry's found it tough, albeit this year he's been pretty good.
Bit a bit with Dangerfield going forward hurt Ollie Henry too.
Yeah, Dangerfield can't play anywhere really other than forward. I mean, I know Adelaide, he went up the ground a little bit. He was in for three bounces on Friday night. So... the fact that we're having that discussion about Patrick Dangerfield, who's an icon of the game, suggests to you that, obviously the end is nigh. And I always think that, the club is much bigger than one player. And I'd be happy if Patrick Dangerfield at the end of the year said, thanks, over and out.
The Selwood thing about wanting to play on then in the car on the way home, thinking about it, may be instructional when it comes to Dangerfield.
Yep.
It's interesting because clubs always say, we leave it up to the players really to, especially you've got to respect the superstars,
yeah, that's
make
right.
the right decision. And yeah,
But we didn't.
If he wants to play on, he'll play on. They won't push him out.
We didn't back in the day when we were moving on Bartel, Chapman, Johnson,
Kelly,
you know,
Stokes.
All those stars of the Cats. They were just shunted out, and some of them were very unhappy with how that happened.
In right.
Rightly or wrongly, yeah, they all got moved on. So there's precedent there but for...
Yeah, well, without raking over old
Coles. Old Coles.
That was a lot of players at once. It's only like one a year now.
Yeah. Mm.
Selwood 1 year, Hawkins another, now Dangerfield.
Yeah.
And
do you reckon, you'd hope that somebody like a Dangerfield would have so many other things to go to. Sometimes players hang on because they get home and then they sit in the chair and they're watching the 7:30 report and then they're in bed at 9 and they think, well, what else am I going to do? So whereas Dangerfield would have a myriad of other things that he could be doing that you would have thought that perhaps excite him post-football. So there's that element to it too, and he's a smart cookie. He might think, you know what, over and out, rather than just play footy for the sake of playing footy.
Yeah.
Last say is Daz Broncos. The Killian is coming. Watch this space. You watch the VFL, Killian Burke.
Yeah, I heard raps on word that they're very, very happy with him.
Yeah.
But he didn't make me happy because I didn't get to see him do anything, really.
The club like him.
Yeah, is they right? really like the way. Yeah.
He's a big unit. Yeah. He runs like a frightened farmer too, so he can move.
A couple of times it came into the forward line, it went over his head. I was wanting to see him do something. Another time it beat him over the boundary line and the umpire had to effect a throw in.
Right. We're done?
We're dunking. Oh, we're looking forward to...
Don't you need to be at Batesford?
Yeah, I do. I've got to go. Thursday night, we're looking forward to...
Is this the longest edition of this ever?
Yes.
This is a record-breaking edition.
Will it be cut up and run over 3
when
days?
When you get home tonight, Peter Hitchener will be mentioning this on the... Does he still do the news?
Sunday. No, he does the weekend.
Oh, does he?
It'll be Sunday.
What's the guy that does it now?
Tom Steinfeld. That's it. No, he's in Vancouver,
is he?
He's at the World Cup.
Vancouver. If you haven't seen the grandpa... He's caught offside in the family home.
Yeah, well, that's what I say.
I'll have a look.
I'm annoyed this has gone so long because I'm hanging out to see your video.
Oh, I'll show it to you. The Cat Attack Podcast.
Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.